Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for you to join us tonight, those of you who have via Facebook Live and or the blog talk radio platform. All right. We're grateful again and we appreciate you. Now, it seems that lately, every day you see people posturing themselves for some sort of battle or conflict with or against something or somebody. The easiest excuse is to go to battle is the difference between the next man or woman's skin or how he or she dresses or disagrees with you. They see this as a good reason to go to battle. Somehow, both of the latter examples are seen as objects of aggression. Particularly, young people have demonstrated themselves to be most confused about the origin and the direction of this frustration that we see manifest. Join me tonight in our topic, competing against the inner me. Another way of reading that is competing against the enemy. Competing against the inner me. That's our topic. Join me tonight, 657-383-0944. I do have a brief monologue to share with you, and then we'll open up our phone lines to you, our listening audience. Again, the number to call is 657-383-0944. And as always, we're happy to entertain your questions and comments. We welcome substantive dialogue, and we appreciate again everybody who have joined us or with us now, and encourage you to give us a call, 657-383-0944, and we'll kind of go from there. All right, good enough. So for now, this is May the 20th. Can you believe that? 2021. Yeah, time is moving on. Time is moving on. Again, our topic, competing against the inner me. Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 23 through 25, reads like this. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. let me repeat that. Meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The text admonishes us to consider something, that there is nothing wrong. There is no law against being meek and having temperance. In other words, controlling yourself. Because those who are in the mindset or the spirit of Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One, have crucified. You've killed the flesh and its appetite and its desire for vile affections and lust after various things. That helps you to compete and fight against the inner me. Both of my children were competitive swimmers. And what they learned and what I learned, and I swam, but I wasn't a competitive swimmer. What they learned is this, that the primary object or the goal, swim competition, is to break your personal record first, and then seek to be able to break world records or other people's records while beating your competitor in the event. The swimming competition should create for the participant least resistance in order to obtain maximum speed. So there is an art to it in this competition. A chronologically grown adult, though, when you think about it and you correlate that to the object of this particular competition, to beat your own speed. In other words, improve yourself. Place yourself as a chronologically grown adult in such a position. Consider that those who lack proper social orientation and skills don't make you a bad person. The purpose of this dialogue tonight is instruction, okay? Because there's some good people who are caught up, and their lives can be vastly improved. They can find success if they understood why it is they found themselves always losing the battle. Not so much against somebody else, but really against himself. The fight was on the inside. This adult who lacks proper social skills and other orientation and training, the ability to be economically autonomous, stand on their own, and even express mental stability, challenges with their own mental stability, are greatly at risk to finding themselves drowning in society, in their life, the environment around them. And we have to ask the question, well, what do you do with that? You know, this past Tuesday, we talked about young people asking the church in particular, can you hear me now? I wasn't talking about 5, 6, 10-year-olds. No, we're talking about people who are consenting and legal adults who are drowning in society. And they're losing the fight every day. That, am I saying everyone? Absolutely not. But I wouldn't have to talk about it if there weren't too many people who face this challenge. My criticism is constructive in that I'm offering information as to how we can support, encourage, and push them into a better position. Okay? Whenever you are of the age where society expects of you to be able to hold your own, to be productive as a citizen. Now, I know people talking about they hate America and things of that nature. But the truth of it, the reality is beloved. There is absolutely nowhere else, no other alternative for you to go. Your circumstances just won't allow it. You know who I'm speaking to. So rather than frustrating yourself fighting a non-winning battle, ask yourself, how can I position myself to find some at least relative happiness within me, in America, wherever I am? You see what I mean? In the presence, as I was, the point I was making, in the presence of this inability to compete because lack of certain preparation and establishment, good people find themselves often in conflict with authority figures on many levels, to include law enforcement. Good people, they tend to have issues with being able to maintain the payment of their personal bills, things like rent, car note, insurance for your car, right? Buying groceries. The challenge is there. You ever heard the expression living from pillow to post? Absolutely. Good people facing this challenge, fighting, competing with warring ideas. They see other people happy, other people successful. And the question naturally is, well, why? What's wrong with me? All right? We're talking about competing against the enemy. Good people find themselves challenged to even care for their children. I don't believe they like that. I don't believe they're happy with it. But it's a reality. So what do we do? That's the question. I would offer to you this consideration. I'm all for providing social support, care, and welfare. And in fact, that's one of the six aims of that was found within the preamble to the United States Constitution. One of them was providing for the public welfare. Okay? But having grown up as a product of the welfare system, I would caution one not to allow it to become a crutch for you. See, because it can provide a false security blanket. And anybody keeps encouraging you or discouraging you from being economically autonomous, standing on your own, being able to produce for yourself and not have to rely on anyone else, it's not doing your favor. In fact, they're your enemy, your adversary. Some people take the position, well, if I can't do it the traditional way or the way everybody else doing, well, I'm going to get it the way I live. And that usually means turning to illegal or unethical means, providing for themselves. And that's the justification. I understand that. No matter who you are, or where you are, I believe that we all have infinite value and we all have some dream of what happiness or success is. Allow me to share with you the concept of an American psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow. He introduced in his body of work a concept known as self-actualization. What does that mean, self-actualization? He suggests that every one of us reasonably have a desire to reach some level of happiness or success. Let's break it down in layman's terms. Okay? Simply means being happy to set a goal for yourself, work through that thing, and reach that point of fulfillment. Say, I did it. I overcame. It wasn't easy, but I maintained and I sustained myself, and I did it. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Unfortunately, though, far too many people in America, and I have to tell you, both young and old, are becoming drowned by the challenges of the battle on the inside to be productive and self-sufficient as citizens of our society. You see this manifest, unfortunately, when you see the sad events that take place in various cities and what have you. And they seem to be increasing in number. If I could go back to Maslow just for a second, this concept of self-actualization, there's two considerations that he points out. One is what he calls your effective needs. In other words, the very basic needs, as I described earlier, to eat, have a roof over your head, to be able to sleep, to bathe. basic things that we have, everybody needs. You understand what I'm saying? And when you think about it, there are good brothers and sisters who find themselves struggling just to have those. So when you come to them and start talking about these grandiose ideas about black nationalism and being Afrocentric and even owning the business and being this and that and the other, guess what? That's what Maslow would refer to as cognitive needs, higher level needs. But he started with a pyramid at the very bottom with this large number of basic things we all need to stay alive, to survive. And as we grow and we learn from them, we position and we establish ourselves to a point where we don't have to work so hard for those things, for your money. Your money is working for you. And at that point, you can start moving toward more esoteric thought or ideas and moving on in the world. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about clocking in even. Ultimately, if that's your goal, is to own your own businesses, control your own time, you establish yourself in a way that you can do that. What Maslow is saying is that the challenge that many people have in our society, this is not just African American. There are a lot of homeless, struggling people fighting mental illness and other depressions and what have you, and they're battling within themselves. Good people, nonetheless. Good people, but they're battling within themselves. And what we want to take away from here is that these people need help. Ghetto Boys had a song, just the clean version of it. Listen to what they say.
Candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned. Four walls closing in, getting bigger. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always tripping, I ain't living right. But I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating. The blood starts coming out my nose. And somebody watching me act. But I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see him when I'm deep in the covers. While I awake, I hear a car coming in rubber. He owns a black hat like I own. A black suit and a cane like my own. So I might say, take a chill, Pete. But I can't sleep, because there's somebody trying to kill me.
What?
I'm popping in the grip when the wind blows.
What?
40 seconds got me peeping out my window. Investigate the joint for stress. Take my turn on post for cap. I'm tripping at the woman on the corner. It's dressed up with your mind playing tricks on you.
Will you listen to Talk Straight? This is your host, Reverend Dr. Stop. Let's get into it. Competing against the inner me. A friend out of Jacksonville, Florida, is joining us now, 37. Welcome to the discussion, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Any preliminary thoughts? You heard what Ghetto Boys talked about, how somehow this guy's mind playing tricks on him. Thought he was seeing things in people, and they weren't there. You don't know nobody like that, do you?
Yeah, I know a lot of people like that. I kind of missed the beginning of your monologue there.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to briefly recap what we were talking about. And if I could summarize it up like this, page 72. There are good people who, for whatever reason, didn't get the guidance, the instruction, and the preparation they need, and they struggle to meet their very basic needs in life. And they're fighting every day within themselves. It's easy to point the blame at somebody else, though, that's your neighbor, your brother, your sister, even your family members. You understand what I'm saying? Rather than checking yourself. So that's essentially what my mother-in-law would be allowed.
So, yeah, I mean, there's many people out there who's seeing things, and I don't know, a different kind of eyeglass than what's actually there. If they just take the glasses off, you know, things can be better and they can see better and do better. But, yeah, sometimes we're shaped and molded by the way we've come up and other people's vision, too. You know, our parents, the aunts, uncles. You know, the neighbors, the society, even. So, yeah.
Right. Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah. So it sounds like what you're suggesting is that there is an impact on the other people around you that pour into you, like you were saying, your uncles, your neighbors, folks like that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look a little bit for me, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I mean, again, with upbringing, you know, and people, I think a lot of times don't mean harm when they are misguiding you. It's unintentional even, but all they're doing is the best that they can, giving you the information that they have. And because, you know, maybe they spent years on just, again, staying within their own mind and not venturing out. You know, it's not quite the best information or advice sometimes, but it's all they got.
Yeah, that's amazing because you think about it, particularly in the sharecropping experience, a lot of those men work really hard from sun up to sundown throughout the week. And the only time they really had to themselves was on the weekend. And many of them had families, 30, 72. They had a wife and children that they provided for and did so well. But they felt like I should be able to slip off and have me a little libations, and if I want to, another lady on the side for fun.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though that mentality is here today, and it causes people to lose the good things that they have. Again, that's another internal battle, though. Not really appreciating and understanding the good that you have in your hand already, but you have this appetite for more, and you even lose what you have in your hand trying to go get some more. What do you think about that? That's amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting you say about, you know, back in the day when people thought they were entitled to do wrong because they worked hard. And believe me, I know an honest day's work. I know a hard day's work. I know what it feels like to be frustrated and just, but it still doesn't give you a to-go pass to, you know, do something you know just ain't right. You know that mess ain't right at the end of the day. That ain't right. But, and it's even more so now today. It's becoming accepted even. At least then they were sneaking. They were sneaking then, you know, and now it's like out in the open. The women know about each other and, you know.
Oh, man, what you talking about? It's the norm.
And
you
something's
I mean?
Wrong with you. Something's wrong with you if you don't condone that or if you're not on that type of thing.
Correct. That is so true. That is so true. Watch this, though, 3072. This is the real detriment. It's when children watch this, and this is their primary example. Where does that lead them? But confused about what is real, what is good, what is honest, you understand what I'm saying? What does that lead them? That becomes the question. We're joined by New Orleans, 4750. The topic tonight: competing against the inner me. Competing against the enemy. That's what we're speaking about. Those good people who are struggling to overcome themselves. And it's easy to point the finger and to look outside and say somebody or they are doing something. But you got to really ask yourself, what am I doing inside? Welcome, 4756, to the conversation.
Greetings.
Yes, sir. Do you have any comments thus far?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, they are conditioned in situations where they don't really understand what's the cause of their status or circumstance in life. I think you do. I think there are many times you do have to blame others outside of yourself for your situation. And I think that you have in societies, you do have social forces. You do have elements in society that determine that they have the right to determine everybody else's place in society. When you look at who gets into, when you look at who gets into schools, how many of certain people get into schools, so on and so forth, that's controlled by other people.
But it looks fine if that's how you like
okay.
it.
You know, you make an interesting point, and I want to ask you, though, when you find those that are successful recognizing those barriers, right, those influences, and they're able to break away from them and still find their success and define their success, what do you think is the key element there? You're right. Oftentimes you have...
I think circumstances vary, and people have more to work with than others in many cases. The success story is used to cloud or to eliminate the discussion that there's inequality in the society. That's a trick to say, oh, well, they're doing well, he's doing well, so therefore, you know, this stuff you say happens doesn't exist, and we mustn't fall for that.
Help me understand that a little bit better, your position.
Well,
you have
exceptions to a rule in many respects to something. And so the people who analyze and who point out the unfairness in given situations, income inequality, housing situation, healthcare disparity, we can go on and on and on. The game is to point out, oh, he's doing well. Oh, so she's doing well. So I don't get your argument. You know, it's an old game and trick that's been played for a long time. You know, white people used to always point up the successful colored guy, the successful Negro woman. And that was supposed to be some example that there is no racism, that there is no structural boundaries in place.
Well, now, let me
that's
ask
a trick.
You
that's an old trick.
Hold on 1 second. Let me bring 3072 in. Let me pose this question. So, despite what someone else does, don't you have control over what you do and determining your outcome and success? Would you agree with that, 3072? Or is it totally up to what other people think and their influence?
Well, I agree and I disagree. So for me personally, even when I have been led by others down a wrong path, I take responsibility for going. Now, you can't do better until you know how to do better. But there are some people out there, honestly, that just don't know. But even with you just not knowing, like we were talking about, I had a hard week. I deserve to go out and cheat on my husband this weekend.
What?
That's how I get relaxation and pleasure. So, no, just because you just didn't know doesn't excuse your responsibility to seek. What does the Bible say? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. So, I mean, that's a sad thing, you know, that some are, you know, less knowledgeable. I'd hate to say ignorant. But at the end of the day, God gave us all free will, and with free will come responsibility. We have to take it for what we choose.
Yeah, definitely agree that there are often pitfalls and snares. And the thing is that because we are thinking beings and we have intelligence, we have the opportunity to look at examples of other people and their successes, and say to ourselves, I can apply this or that. I'm not saying you have to try to be like anyone else. I'm not suggesting that. But you can apply those things that work to your own life, right, and find out that you can be. And what is success? Other than, as Abraham Maslow suggested, reaching a level to complete something you started for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you did that, I mean, doggone, that's pretty good. And some people set the bar real low, but if you did something,
Even with all that said, at the end of the day, in society, you're not just an individual in a universe all by yourself. You're part of a social group, and certain social groups are at a disadvantage vis-a-vis others. And there are certain social groups that make the rules in the society. Now, let me give you an example. Now, right here where I live in New Orleans, they have been having something called school reform ever since Hurricane Katrina. Supposedly, the schools were so terrible that they had to be taken over and privatized. It's called school choice. New Orleans is probably one of the only cities at this point where nearly 100% of its public schools are privatized. That is, you have private management companies that manage so many schools.
Okay.
Now, at the end of the day, what are the results? The same schools that were the successful schools before the reform are the same successful schools. And all the other schools that were supposed to get better because of the privatization still are producing poor results.
Okay.
What do you have? You have a certain social group that determined that the public schools had to be privatized. For whose advantage? For that group who said it needed to be for their advantage. And right now, if you're a young couple and you're moving into New Orleans, you cannot get your kid into a quote-unquote good school because all of those seats are taken up by well-connected people. So no matter how hard you try, your child will be left with the same mediocre school in school reform. Okay, so you have decisions are made, other people make about the rest of the society, where they will be, how much of them, just like the vaccine in these countries. Rich countries, rich people have access to the vaccine.
I mean,
we have to look at this reality of society. You're not an individual all by yourself. In the universe, you're part of a social group. And depends on who you network with and who are your network, you may have an easy time, you may have a difficult time, you may be never given a shot.
Hold tight for a second. I take your point. I would only add or offer for your consideration the fact that if every parent in New Orleans whose child was in a failing school and continue to spiral in that, were to go to their school district and the governor and to say that my child is not meeting it, I'm taking my child out, guess what would happen to the dollars that follow those child in the public school system there? They wouldn't be used. That's the power that you have of choice. You can homeschool your children. You can
every parent, and not even half of the parents
are capable
of homeschooling.
Listen to me for a second, okay? Just hold on. Let's have a dialogue. And we got another caller coming in. Just hold tight for a second. Listen to me. Now, I understand that every parent, every household is not adept enough to do that. I realize that. What I'm simply making the point of, you're not in a situation where you're powerless. You're not powerless, even in that situation where a decision was made about how the school system will be ran there locally or anywhere for that reason. My whole point is, you have to ask yourself, what can I do within me to be successful at what I sought out to do? That's for every parent. Now, if those parents are not happy with what they're getting, from the public officials and those that are charged with the duty of educating those citizens, they do have power to change how their children are educated legally. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead, and then we're going to bring St. Louis in. You were going to say something, then we're going to bring St. Louis into the conversation.
No. What I was going to say is, you know, I had you on as a guest on one of my shows.
And I
welcome you to my home, and you're going to wake up, and you were given the utmost respect and dignity. You were not interrupted. You were not yelled at or shouted down. My radio program are very quality shows. In fact, even St. Louis listens to my shows and had to bow down and kiss my feet at what a wonderful show he heard once before. So I think I deserve a little bit more dignity and respect in your house here, considering that's what I gave you when you came to New Orleans Wake Up.
When I came to New Orleans Wake Up and I listened to the show, anyone else can, you never heard me overrun you when you started talking, even when you wanted to ask a question. You never heard me continue to go on when you followed your format for your show. I would never do that, and I only ask you to extend that courtesy. That's perfectly fine. When I am the facilitator of the conversation, and we have a two-hour format, and we do have a structure for our show. We do have a few other callers on right now. I want to give you ample time to make your point, but I would ask you and extend that that little courtesy that is saying, okay, I'm trying to make a point. It's important, but the host has asked me to give to pause for a second, and I'll do everything I can to make sure you get ample time. So, and we extend that to everybody that come on. I've had many guests on this show, many guests in the 4.5 years we've been on, 450 episodes that are recorded. And I think everybody can judge for themselves that we've extended more than courtesy to the guests on our shows and everybody call in. But I appreciate what you're saying. Let me go to St. Louis. St. Louis, welcome. We're talking from the topic, competing against the inner me, the fight within the person to reach whatever success that they set for themselves or whatever they're trying to achieve in their life. Any comments, questions?
Well, a comment on that. I was going to comment. Somebody said I came to their show. It must have not been that damn good because I sure in the heck don't remember it. But
No, sir. You were on Mr. Washington's show, the African American Family Forum, where you praised me highly for a show you heard.
Well, that's Ruben, not to get off your topic, but I should know what I remember and I don't.
I will give them the date of that show. They can listen for themselves on the African American Family Hour for the Washington show.
Like I said before, it must not have been that good because today I do not remember it. Is that
easy I guess when we get older, we start losing some of our mental capacity. That's
today.
All right.
Today is May the 20th. Yeah, he just got that, and he's older than me. He's 62 years old, born in 59? Can you imagine that? That's an example for sure. But here's the thing, and you talk about the inner you. When you see a problem that impedes you from doing what you want to do, then you got to do what you have to do in order to get over that impediment.
If there's a
condition in the school district in the area in New Orleans where you don't have enough capacity, then go to the website, Louisiana Charter School Association, and it says start a charter school. It lists the requirements that one has to meet. So that's the way you get over that impediment, by resorting to your inner self-diligence, your inner hard work desire. Charge your own.
Could I respond to that?
We ain't going back and forth with you.
Yes, one second.
Because, you know, Rev, I can give you the paperwork. Back in 1998, when charter schools opened up in the state of Missouri, my group that I worked with was probably the first applicant that went to the Department of Education, Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. The lady over at the time was Jocelyn Strand. And we done the things that was required. And we worked to put forth the Imhotep Academy. That was people working together, knowing what needed to be done, and doing it. Not complaining, but doing it. Just like you're trying to do. I don't hear you complaining. Every week I hear you talk, you are due diligent and moving forward and trying to do the best you can. Invite those that want to come aboard and offer some expertise. Whether you get it or whether you don't, you continue to move forward.
Well, that's it. At the end of the day, we are in control of our own lives and our own destinies. Nobody else. I don't care what other people are doing. I hadn't heard an attorney talking about how, the other side, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And I'm saying to myself, then never mind what the other side is doing. You're representing your client. What are you going to do to defend them? To protect, you understand what I'm saying? That's really what we're concerned about. Is what kind of stick you gonna pull out of your bag to make sure your client gets the best representation? Otherwise, he has a right to get rid of you, to fire you, and say I had a poor representation in court. But anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. Competing against the enemy. 3072.
Yeah.
There are a great many people right now who would ask the question, why is it necessary for me to do what is recommended by other people that have been models of success in society? And why can't I just be me? If I just want to sit at home and I just want to enjoy life, why can't I do that? I'm 35, 40 years old. Why can't I just do what I want to when I get ready? And the world just leave me alone. What do you think about that, Thursday? How would you respond to that?
You think that everybody has the right to the pursuit of happiness, and whatever makes them happy, they should do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, with that being said, if you are 40 and you want to just stay home, but the government is paying for you to stay home, meaning you're drawing welfare and, everybody else that works feeds you, things like that. That's not a good deal. Then you haven't earned the right, seriously, to sit down and stay home. I mean, it's not fair. Again, you're able-bodied. Or I could see if you was disabled even or something. Yeah, you just want to do that. That's not a good thing. But again, it's about the choices, and
That's funny you said that. I had seen this certain fellow on the street with a sign, and he was homeless and hungry. Anything helped, right? And I saw him at least 3 weeks in a row in the same spot. No, I take that back. It was like 2 weeks in a row, same spot. So I said, I'm going to pull over, and I'm going to ask him, what is it that can be done to help him get in a position where he can find gainful employment and so forth and so on, right? And so I had come prepared to, you can get a bus pass here in Davidson County for like $30. They're different, different points. But I was prepared to take to the bus depot and to buy him a bus pass and to, recommend some libraries that he can go, because he can go on the computer for free. And Tennessee jobs, things have things where you can find openings and support and what have you. Do you know he told me what to do with myself?
Yep. We had a man come in just this week for treatment, homeless. Now, he had over $250 on him, in ones, tens, fives. He had about $55 in change, but he don't have nowhere to stay. But, he'd rather do that, just sit on the street begging, rather than try to, establish a place to stay even, you know, I don't know. People, it's got to be a mental condition, honestly. I just thinking, how could anybody be happy with that?
Interesting. Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah. St. Louis, have you ever heard of Calvin Mackey?
Is this about Rev Show?
No, no. I'm asking you, have you heard of Calvin Mackey from New Orleans?
No.
All right. Okay. Calvin Mackey, the African-American engineering professor, Tulane University. He also has a patent on the invention he did dealing with the luggage bins or something like that.
Okay.
He has been an advocate. In fact, he's the older brother of the actor Anthony Mackie. Now, he has been an advocate for STEM, for African-American children. He has recently received a $1.25 million grant from the Kellogg Foundation because he has purchased a building in New Orleans that he's going to call the STEM Center. That's going to be an innovation center for young people. But here goes my point with Calvin Mackey. You need to look him up since you're into engineering and stuff. Calvin Mackey, he also speaks about what you all are talking about, the inner self and all that. Calvin Mackey applied for a charter 2 times and got denied. Now, this is a tenured engineering professor who is well known for his advocacy of STEM and his work, an inventor, a patent, has a patent, and was denied. You know why he was denied? Because what's happening with this charter movement is that it's really not designed for these children to really be successful. It's really designed just to privatize these schools and have corporations behind the scenes taking advantage of guaranteed federal and state money. And the fear of having Calvin Mackey receive a charter to run a charter school was that it would probably not only be successful, but she was going to have a black male as the face of it for success. Because all of these charter boards in New Orleans, the head of every board is a white man, and then you might have black members on the board, but the head of every charter organization is a white male, and many blacks who apply for charters have been denied. It's a deceptive way to privatize public infrastructure to make sure the money stays in the hands of the same old ruling elite, using the children in the name of helping them, but the children still suffer. The schools they still go to suffer, and they close a whole lot of schools, and kids got to go to school way on different sides of town outside of the neighborhood where they live.
All right. Well,
can I ask New Orleans a question?
No, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So you seem to be very passionate about getting out the way I see it, that you're passionate about making sure that it's known that African Americans are at a disadvantage. Even with that situation, and you believe in that, so what do we do about that? Where do we go?
Well, the first thing we do about it is we stop lying to ourselves that it doesn't exist. That's the first thing.
I don't think anybody on this show here is saying that, you know, black people don't get a hard time to go when it comes to money.
No, what we're saying is we're saying that it's just simply an issue of it's you. I mean, you have very real networks out there, and those networks determine how many of you come in, what kind of you come in, and how many of you stay out. When you look at real estate, you look at gentrification, you look at the impact it's having on people who can't afford to live. I mean, this stuff is very real.
But what do we do, though, is what I'm saying, with it being real, so where do we go from there, from it being real, to to making it unreal? What do we do?
Well, we admit that it exists and stop lying to ourselves and thinking that it's about some self-esteem and it's about some motivational speaking.
Well, that's the start. That I believe that is the start to making things better. For one, if you don't believe in yourself, whether it was real or fake, white or black, nobody would make anything out of, you know.
You know what that's like? That's like you got a brick wall right there. And then you saying, yeah, you can do it, do the brick, and you hit that brick wall, and you fall on the ground and bust your head up.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, because I know somebody personally on this show that has applied for charters and all other kind of things, too, and they've gotten turned down, but that don't stop them. They keep going. They keep moving. They keep looking.
Well,
don't
get me wrong. Yes, you keep moving, but you move smart. You move wisely, and you network with the appropriate people to make your move more effective, efficient, and gain more leverage.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I think that's what she's asking you about. What are some concrete steps that will move you beyond this position that you were just describing? Nobody is denying that historically, starting with introduced us in the context of slavery. Nobody's denying that there's been a church experience for people of Afro descent. I don't know anybody who's denying that. That being said, we still live here, and most of us are not going anywhere anytime soon. So do we just lay down and die, or do we do like Claude McKay say, we put our backs to the wall and we come out scratching? We fight. You understand what I'm saying? And we look out for ourselves.
But here go the thing.
Let me bring 8112 in. Come right here. Don't lose your thought. We're joined by 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois. Welcome, man. We're talking from the topic competing against the inner me. Not anybody else. We're talking about fighting yourself like that. Sometimes you need to have a good fight with yourself. But welcome to the show. Let me go back to New Orleans, and then I'll give you an opportunity to share anything. What reference to New Orleans, what were you going to say?
Okay, I want to say Calvin Mackey says everything you guys are saying. Oh, he's a very motivational approach. And he more than likely would probably be with you guys. But guess what? He couldn't get no charter. Now, like I said, he got a $1.25 million grant from the Kellogg Foundation to push his, I think he's going to call it STEM NOLA. He actually bought a building with his own money. He bought a nice building with his own money. And he wants to use that to teach young people, African-American kids, innovation in STEM. So y'all should look him up, Calvin Mackey. And so that's an example. But guess what? He has resources. That man has money. That man is a millionaire himself. Okay, well, so he has many options. And not only that, he has name recognition. He has clout, so he gets this grant from the Kellogg Foundation. The average black person don't have that type of resources even before they try to apply for a grant.
Okay, so here's the takeaway from that, and we'll move on from that. What he did was to not allow any denials to impede his progress toward educating black children. That was a good thing. And that's a good example of fighting against the enemy. I would imagine he was disappointed, heartbroken, stressed. But guess what he didn't do? He didn't stop. So we'll take that.
Right. He didn't stop. He had a lot of his own personal resources and his own personal name recognition to work with.
That's fine. My point is, what was most important is not his resources, but his internal drive to stay in the fight.
And well, the resources really make the difference. Having the resources.
Ruben got what he wanted, and that was a school. Yes, St. Louis. I'm not the guy.
Did you know Howard Fuller? You ever heard
yes,
his
sir.
Name? Howard Fuller started what? He started BAIL, which is the Black Alliance for Educational Options,
yes, ma'am. Yes,
all
ma'am.
The way back in 1990.
Right.
And they provide assistance and scholarship dollars for any group that wanted to start their own school.
And look, these were everyday parents in, was it Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
He came out of Milwaukee, but we worked with Bertha and I. Bertha worked with him, and I can't think of the lady's name who was representing him down in St. Louis.
Okay. Yeah, well,
she took over 2,200 students out of the St. Louis Public School District, and they entered into choice schools around St. Louis.
Well,
I'll tell you another thing. Back in the 1970s, you had the Council of Independent Black Institutions, CIBI. They had like 68 to 70 schools across the country. These private schools. And you had one in D.C. called Nation House that's still there. My grandson went to one in St. Louis, Frederick Douglass Institute. You have one in California. And these are just the ones that I can name. So these were black people that had a concern over how their children was not being educated and put the things in place to make sure that the Detroit have charter schools, Timbuktu. They have Inseroma. I don't know if Inseroma is still around, but there's another example. They done what they were supposed to do and put the things in place to move forward. Not complaining, but doing like you just mentioned.
That's a very important point, because one of the things when you look at Howard Fuller is he actually got most of his steam in Milwaukee area from parents who were welfare mothers who were not satisfied with the education their children were getting in public school. It didn't matter that they were welfare mothers. What matters is that these parents wanted the best for their children. And they heard what Brother Fuller was saying, and they got behind that man, and it became a very, very powerful movement for parent choice.
They had another man in Milwaukee by the name of Taki. He started a charter school. Michael Holt wrote a book about the charter school choice movement in Wisconsin. The book is called Not Yet Free at Last. Mickey Thomas was the governor of Wisconsin, and he worked to make sure that those black groups had what they needed to do. The governor was Mickey Thomas. So all this stuff about what people, white folks, won't let you do, well, then if that's the position you want to take, good. But just get out the way. Just please get out the way so other people can go about the business of doing and addressing the needs that need to be addressed.
Let me go to 8112. She has been graciously waiting on us. 8112, welcome. That's essentially what we're talking about tonight, is understanding that the first person you have to conquer is yourself. And when you can be happy with yourself, when you can reason with yourself, it's easy for you to engage, interact, and even compete with other people. What say you, 8112?
I agree wholeheartedly, because sometimes in your life you find yourself contending with yourself. The best thing I learned to do for myself was to try some different things and challenge myself at certain different things.
Right.
And I say, when I feel weak, I need to be strong. And that helps a lot as far as I'm concerned, because you are right. It starts with you. Whether you understand it or not, most of it is a mental challenge as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we all don't understand don't mean we can't figure it out either with help. You know, might need a little extra help along the way. But sometimes that's what it takes. But it still has to start with you, even if it's admitting it to yourself. I can't do this by myself.
Well, that is powerful, right? Listen, 8112, I remember when I was working in the juvenile detention facility, right? And we had young boys that were under our care. Well, they had at that time had a little vocational program, and the children would get to, you know, use a hammer, put a hard hat on, and,
yeah,
and build a thing, what have you. Most of the boys would sit around on the bleachers doing absolutely nothing and just be happy they were outside. A handful of them would pick up the tools,
mm-hmm,
literally go over there and try to use them. You understand what I'm saying? So
yes,
one
sir.
Day, the superintendent came out, and he started giving out incentives, rewards, for the people that he saw working.
Hmm.
The fellow ran over there off the bleachers. He said, "Where am I at?" He said, "Where am I at?"
What'd you do to him?
And the superintendent explained, "Listen, I've watched you boys out here for the last couple of days, and I noticed you and a few others over there, all y'all wanted to do was sit down. Nobody stopped y'all from sitting down. But these boys right here, they've worked the last couple of days. Look at what they've done, and they've earned a reward." And that's the point.
You get out what you put in.
Yeah. If you don't put
in. Rev, could I ask a question?
What was that? Go ahead. Well, who was that?
No, I wanted to ask a question. This is a general question for anybody on the line. I like to know. It's two questions.
Yes,
who on the line currently runs a school that's in operation? If not, why not? And who on the line ran a school? And if you ran a school, what happened and why you still don't run the school today? And I continue to listen.
So your question is who run the school or who ran the school?
Who currently runs the functional educational institution? If not, considering the direction of the conversation, if not, why not? And if who ran a school? And if a school you ran and you no longer is in relationship with that school, why not?
So nobody. Let's say nobody. Now what?
Okay. Huh?
Let's say nobody. Now what?
Oh, it just helps me out. That's all. It just gives me further insight. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. All right. So let's go back to the conversation. Competing against the inner me. Now, I noticed that a lot of the arguments that we've seen in the last year or so have been based in the idea that there is inequality, there is racial hatred, there is a systematic oppression and things of that nature. But here's what I don't see. I don't see any kind of plan offered by those individuals to self-improve. Is that because it's impossible for them to self-improve, 37-2, 81-12, or is it because in their minds they've given up the battle? And they've
could you repeat that? Well, could you repeat that?
Sorry.
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. My question, and I was directing it to 37-2 and or 81-12. We'll be happy to hear what you have to say afterwards.
All right, give them
a chance to answer first. Those individuals who concluded that inequality, oppression, racial hatred, and things of that nature was a justification for them not having a plan for their own self-improvement. My question to them was, is that because they absolutely could not do any, come up with a plan or do anything different, or that they just resolved the results of where they are? 37-2 or 81-12. Either one of y'all want to go first and then.
37-2, please go ahead because I heard you trying to speak. I'm sorry.
No, 81, good to hear from you, but you go ahead.
I feel as though I don't think it's that they necessarily couldn't come up with a plan. Neither do I think that if you said they didn't have, well, that's the same thing. However,
okay,
or they gave up on the plan.
Okay.
A lot of times people get other people, because people like to judge people, some people, let me correct myself. Some people like to judge people. And you may not even know what the problem is yourself. And I believe you're speaking about dealing with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you deal with you when you don't even realize where the problem is? You know you got a problem, but you don't know where it comes from.
Ooh.
So a lot of people do what they do best. They do as they're used to doing. Whether that's right or wrong, is not, it couldn't be wrong if you don't know any better. And there's many of us out there that just do not know any better. It's not because you're trying to make yourself a problem in society. It's not because there's something going on with you that maybe you don't even know how to share with anybody else.
Interesting. Very interesting. That's interesting. Well, I'm curious, 3072. What's your take on it?
What's my take on it? On what again?
Okay, we were talking about individuals who made claims that there were forces for oppressive things going on in the country that were working against them, but they did not have come up with or implement their own plan for self-improvement. You heard what 8112 said. What is your take on that?
So they making excuses. I mean, again, I stand by what I said earlier. Whether you know or you don't know, that's one thing, but are you trying to find out? And then again, you cannot let somebody else determine or measure what success is for you.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what else to say or how to put that. Yeah, we know what it is. We know slavery existed. We know that there's homelessness. We know that tons of black people with great ideas get turned down for financial business loans. We know all of that. So what are we going to do? Just stop in our tracks? We're going to keep going? Or are we going to even insult the people that we're going up to again to ask for loans? And, you know, I don't know. I'm just tired of spinning the wheels, you know, like, gosh, what are we going to do?
I agree with most of that. But the younger people, we're some of us a little older than some others of us, but most of us is not a joke because of wisdom in life, including yourself. My point is, what about the people? And young folks are people as well as older folks.
Oh, sure.
That just really do not get it because they haven't. And they don't understand.
Well, they don't get it.
Even about
81. 81, most of them don't get it, sad to say, because they don't want to get it.
I can't say that, baby. I
can because nobody, I can. And I see them often. I see them. Try to have a conversation. You try to put some positive and motivating in them. You try to say something nice and kind even.
Yeah.
Half of them, and I'm not speaking about all of them, because there are some beautiful, smart, talented people, young folks that's going places. I'm talking about those other ones that's not being reached for the reason, some of them, that they don't want to be reached. They're running and hiding.
Circumstances sometimes. Circumstance when they grew up to live the life that they live, a lot of them, and I ain't making an excuse for anybody. I don't even try to make an excuse my French. I don't try to make an excuse for myself. But I'm a lot of older than most of them, and I'm not trying to be debative. I'm just saying my thing is that it's a lot of young people out here. They don't even, they think they know who they are. However, they really don't. Because you got a lot of grown folks that's trapped inside of them, thinking they men and women, they still boys and girls playing with and them big girl little panties and them big little boy underwear. So I mean, but with some of them that was used to doing, trying to help do certain things, there's a lot of them just full of devil men. I agree with you, but they smart as all outdoors. You catch them men that be on the street making them dollars. I'm not for that by no means.
But you know what?
They are so very intelligent and so smart, but then yet stupid because they're getting caught up in a trap, as Pastor Wallen and you guys say.
Right.
You know, I like to chime in there.
Hold on 1 second. I'm coming to you. The only time you see their real genius 8112 is after they got locked up.
Yeah.
And they were in grown folk timeout, and they had a chance to think about just how stupid their actions were. There's some of the light come on. But by that time, they on paper, they locked up, and now they have a record.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an interesting dynamic. New Orleans is funny. 1 second,
Sanders.
I'll come to you. New Orleans is trying to say something.
Yeah. So in other words, I think the gist of the conversation we have, and if I had to describe it, is that how to generate self-motivation and the drive for self-improvement. Now, what Peoria was saying was what I was, in all my brilliance and wisdom, was trying to introduce to the conversation. There are a lot of people. Now, when I ask the question about who is running the school, because education is one domain of that self-improvement and self-motivation. Now, Missouri, they say, is the show me state. And when we approach people on some of these things and what should be done, we need to be doing it ourselves to show them. You see, so that's why I ask the question, who is currently running the school in operation now? Or who actually ran the school and alumni.
Okay.
And we have to be able to show people.
When you say we, who are you talking about? When you say when we do that, who are you talking about?
Those of us who stand on the pulpit and preach the sermon down to those sitting down about what could be done, at least in the format of education. In other words, if I don't have a school, if I'm not running the school, then what right I got to tell some parents somewhere that they should be starting school and I'm not doing it?
Because, let me shut up. Pastor, you go ahead and handle it. Shut up.
Your supposition, New Orleans, Brother Warren, is that no one is in the position to offer the counsel and the advice and the guidance that is coming forth from Talk Straight. Is that what I'm hearing? Help me.
No. What I'm saying is, in this discussion, which I would phrase as how to generate self-motivation for self-improvement, and of course, under that title, you can have various areas of self-improvement, and education was just one that we dealt with. So if we're talking to parents about having a choice and an option for school and education, and we're really passionate about preaching that, we should be showing and demonstrating what we, that's the we is any of us anywhere on the world who's preaching for that.
Well,
we should be having an example.
You know how this works, Ruben. People will come to you and ask questions about how they can put their idea into place. You got those that want you to come teach them and take them by the hand. Those are freeloafers. You have to have that innerness in yourself. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you.
It's freeloaders because they need help and ask you, I want somebody.
Because they want you to do the thinking for them.
Are you kidding me?
I've met a lot of them like that.
Yeah.
You know, in the city of St. Louis.
My question is, St. Louis, where's your school? Where's your school?
In the city of St. Louis, I built either 8 or 11 schools for the St. Louis Public School District.
As one single man, sir. We're talking about a whole nation, not just one person. Did a whole lot of one people.
A whole nation. What the nation here in the United States is the United States. So what nation are you talking about?
I'm talking about you can create your own nation as a one individual.
You can't have a nation within the United States. The Constitution don't allow that.
Building and being united as the pastors do, and I'm sure there's others that reach out and actually be about it, not just speak about it.
People don't work like that, ma'am.
That's
Peoria,
right.
They
that's
don't
good.
Work like that. They
that's
don't work like that in America. If they do, point
they
it out.
They put in
point
their
it
work.
Out.
You put in your work too, St. Louis, probably, but you speaking negatively, thinking you speaking positively.
I'm not thinking, you know, if I'm speaking negatively, you know what it is? Let me explain something to you. Because you cut me off. Ruben asked me to explain something. If you saying that I'm speaking negatively, I'm telling you like it is from experience.
No, you talking about
I built eight.
Experiences,
I built.
Like
would you let
like
me? Would you let me? Would you let me say what I got to say?
You gotta be quiet. That's why I've been staying off here because sometimes.
Thank you very much.
You quite.
Thank you very much. As I said before, now me personally, I built 8-11 schools in the St. Louis Public School District. I went around the different states and sat with different people because they was interested in starting African-centered curriculum programs either in the existing school district or starting up their own private like the Council Independent Black Institution. I was the field coordinator of African-centered curriculum for
the
St. Louis chapter.
Ruben,
come on, will you now?
The world
thank you.
Of you only,
well,
sir.
I think you have a response to him, but let him finish it, and he's going to finish it up soon. Then we'll keep the conversation there. But
no, let him go. You know, you say that the world don't consist of one person, just me. Well, why don't you go find other people that the world consists of and talk to them? And you still going to be talking to one person at a time. That's the way it works. In many of these cases, the people that didn't want those type of choices, they were blacks themselves. Like Polly Williams up in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Like the Missouri State Chapter of the NAACP, the Dells Mars branch, Kwame Nfumu, the head director of the NAACP, they don't want choice. They black.
Well,
matter of fact,
well,
Howard Fuller, the people that supported Howard Fuller, the people that supported Bail, they was white companies. They was white organizations. Look at the Ernie Chambers. Look at, and I know for real that the Freemans was the ones that helped support Bail when they was working in St. Louis with Bertha Gilkey. Freemans are white. They for school choice. Whenever we had buses, whenever we had to assemble buses to go to Jeff City and argue the case before committees at the state legislature, those funds for those buses and the lunch and the food was picked up by white organizations.
Right.
And finally, in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, you had a state legislator by the name of Ernie Chambers, a black man.
Okay.
Ernie served in the state legislature for 46 years. Ernie listened to these people that kept on talking about the obstacles. You know what he done, Ruben? He put a bill in force that would create, you would have your traditional school district in Omaha, you would have an African American school district in Omaha, and you would have, I think it was either Hispanic Latino school district in Omaha.
Okay.
Guess what?
Okay.
NAACP said he was racist. He put it out there for those who kept saying there's always this mystical obstacles against them. Here in Baton Rouge, you got some people that started an aviation charter middle school working out of Baton Rouge Airport. Those
right.
people had an innovation,
you know,
and they put it in place.
For a minute, I
Real, can I say something, Real?
One second, New Orleans.
I ain't got nothing else to say about that.
All right, one second. Twelve was trying to respond, and we were trying to have a dialogue.
Okay.
And then don't lose your thought. I'll come to you in just a second. Twelve, I was trying to hear what you were saying in response there, and then we'll go to New Orleans. What were you suggesting about? It was really the point that people were freeloading. You were saying that that was not a good thing because what reason to say that?
It's not a good thing to say that because when you don't know who's listening, as I say all the time, in regards to who's listening, you may be speaking your heart, but even being in the prep profession, that whatever it is that you are in, it doesn't matter to me, sir. What you're saying is very insulting to certain different people. And I don't speak just by myself, because I know there's a whole world out here. You were speaking about yourself. Sometimes we got to think outside of the box and consider other people's feelings,
that's
young,
right.
old, middle-aged, and all.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Everybody
Amen.
Didn't walk the walk or walk you claim you walk. Everybody don't
Amen.
Talk the way you talk, and I'm so grateful for that, because there's a lot of things you say. When I said St. Louis, I thought you came around a little bit, but you haven't. From obviously from the way you are speaking, I have not been on here in almost 2 months like this. However, there are certain things we can keep to ourselves, because it don't matter. It don't apply to the whole world.
Okay, all right, I got you. I got you. I think you understand where you come from. Let's,
I hope he does.
Go ahead, Brother Warren, and make this relevant to competing against the enemy, Brother Warren.
Yeah. Well, I want to agree with Peoria. When you're talking about helping people, you may have to go in and hold their hand and let them walk with you and grab them and put them in. That's what it means to help people and to be compassionate. So you got to have compassion if you're really concerned about people being uplifted. You can't stand on a pedestal and throw rocks at them. Get up off the ground, you dirty dog, you. You have to have compassion if you understand why they may be where they are. They may have to hold your hand. You may have to lead them to the light. Because some people have been so beat down, they don't even know they're supposed to go towards the light.
Okay.
That has to be understood. And let me put this other point here. And I want y'all to listen to me real good. Right now in New Orleans, we have probably the worst juvenile crime we've ever had in quite some time.
Okay.
And all of these
okay.
children, all of these young children are victims of school choice. You see, that's a catchy phrase that the deceivers create in the cell of heaven to the people they seek to keep disadvantaged. And then they make them run over, and then you get a couple of people, get their little schools, and they put money into it too. See, they put money into it. But then the long-term objective is to privatize the public entity so the money, the federal and the state dollars, circulate in the hands of the private elite business network. The school choice, New Orleans is the model in the country for school choice. It's a deceptive term, because you know what's going on now? The parents really don't even have a choice.
Okay.
And these schools under the school choice are filling these kids even in greater depths.
Yeah, we've heard that. We've heard you say that on numerous occasions. I don't know how that's help anybody compete against themselves.
Right.
Talk to me about that.
Well, I mean, you know, other people have said things that don't relate to that. You didn't chide them.
I'm speaking to you right now. You got the floor. I want you to speak and relate to our topic at hand on this May 20th, 2021,
well,
about 8:24 now, Central Time.
How is that not related to the topic when others have discussed school choice and gave examples around the country? What makes what I'm saying all of a sudden out of the room?
Speaking to you, Brother Warren, I gave you the floor, and that's all I was interested in hearing from, not anybody else. But I'm going to go ahead and go to 72, and I hear what you're saying. Go ahead,
well,
72.
I was just going to say to New Orleans, I agree with some of what he's saying, but if I was a young person or a young parent, I would feel like there was no hope listening to you. Again, some of what you say is true, and some of it are sad realities, but I would feel like with all of what you say and what you've been like so passionate about is, we just doomed. We can't make it. I mean, school choice,
well,
me as a parent, I failed, and there's no way, you know, the schools are, what can my child do but get killed or sell drugs or wind up going to jail?
Ma'am, let me tell you something. I'm retired. The average,
I mean, I know
parent,
different, but if
the,
I was
average,
one of those,
the average parent, the average parent in school with their kids in school don't have that luxury. And in respect, when these schools transform into school choice, the parent's voice is even silenced more. Let me give you an example. You have many different school boards now. You don't have one school board. You have like maybe 10 or different 20 school boards depending on the charter corporation. They have meetings in the morning time. They don't have meetings in the evening where the parents can come scream and yell up at the mic.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. So now I'm pretending to be one of those voiceless parents. I feel like I'm pretending. I feel like there's no hope. I should just give up. And, like, I'm listening to you. There's nothing that can be done.
Your child will have to go to one of those schools, and that's it. Unless you got money to put your child in a private, a Catholic school,
a private
school.
I don't have money.
Your child won't be in one of those
schools. I'm a poor parent. I'm a poor, single, struggling black mom, and I don't have money, but none of what you're talking about. Now, what am I going to do? Tell me what to do. Help me, please.
Don't be discouraged.
Well, all I'm telling you here, were you in this city, which is the model for school choice, listen to it real good, that term school choice, that pimp term that's been used, this is the model. You don't have a choice.
Remember what you said, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt 3072, but I have to say something while I remember it before I forget. Excuse you, sir, with all due respect, you're speaking like it's just only, as I said, to St. Louis, it's not just about you. No, a lot of kids don't have that choice. Oops, again. Is that their fault? Because you said, well, you said, is that their fault? Yes or no, please.
No, well, we're going to move from that 81 there. We're not
going to say, Ruben.
I for myself sometimes, Pastor. And I talk to you, Pastor Why. I talk to anybody that's going to grab my hand and help me out. We all struggle with our own situations in life where we said one another nor not.
Let me say
something else, Ruben.
Okay, hold on 1 second, please. That's all I'm saying, 8112. I want to make sure that not only you and those that are on the line, but those that are listening, and I happen to know those who are, that they walk away from here with an understanding that it's not over, and there are some small things that each individual can do for them. That's the whole point. So I appreciate
that's
that, too.
Right. Appreciate,
and that's why I don't want.
Yeah, I appreciate
yes, ma'am. I don't want us to keep going on and on about school choice. That's not going to get us anywhere right now. Right quickly, St. Louis, and then Pastor.
Well, I was going to say this. I don't think people know what the law says. It says that if three people want to have a special way, a special offering for their particular children and the neighborhood kids, those three people can form a board and go through the process of getting the necessary thing that they need to have a school. They got to get a building. They got to get their financing. They have to come up with their curriculum and get their approval or get a sponsor to approve them, which can be a university. Or some people can go to your charter providers like your Beacon, your Imagine, and others that do it from a corporate level. You don't have to go through a corporate school source in order for your child to experience choice. And another point, I'm going to tell you what I mean by holding hands. It was a group asked me to help them out. I went to Elgin, Illinois, which is about 155 miles north toward Chicago of Peoria, and looked at some model buildings that they had. These were factory assembled buildings where the blackboard, the carpet, and the wallpaper and everything was on the walls when they came out on the truck. I'd done that for this group. and went back and met with them and told them, this is what you have to do. You know what they asked me? They asked me to build the school. See, that's when you say they are mooching off of you. Now here's the point. If I had to build the school, well, who's going to maintain it? Who's going to provide the maintenance to the buildings? Who's going to prepare for the electric, the gas, the heating?
Find out, sir.
So who's going to, if they're supposed to go out and secure those operations themselves. You can't depend on some one person to do that for you. That's ridiculous.
That is
And that was some beautiful buildings they had in Elgin, by the way.
They taxes. In Elgin, yeah, they do have citizens. I know where Elgin is at. Elgin, Illinois, as you speak up. Yeah, the citizens would have done it. But people like you, a person like you, speaking the way you do, don't give
Why are you talking about me? Those people came to me and asked me for my assistance.
So good, but you look
hold on.
Bad.
One second.
But here's what I'm saying, Rev. You didn't interrupt him not one time. You didn't stop him not one time.
All right. Okay. So, Pastor Waller. Go ahead, sir. Welcome to the discussion.
Yes.
We're talking from the topic
yes,
competing against the inner me.
Okay. Say that one more time for me, somebody. I couldn't hear somebody. Say that one more time.
Competing.
Oh, great.
Can
not
you
out,
hear
of,
me?
Out of your mouth.
Competing against the inner me. That's our topic tonight, Pastor Waller. And we've heard some very interesting dialogue, various perspectives about it, and we kind of went off from the general conversation, came back to it, and we've been trying to keep that conversation flowing. And that's really what we're talking about. There are good people who have to learn how to master and conquer themselves, whether that's fear of not stepping outside of the box, taking risks, taking chances, or
not
being not to do that. So go ahead, Pastor
Wallace. Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate it. I was here at the group home talking tonight, and where I was at, man. And these brothers was here. You know, they came out and the book. They were able to choose what chapter they wanted to come out from. And I want to thank God for everybody that's on the show right now. But check this out, though. When you're walking in peace, you know, you do things like this. You open up the floor. And then his brother came up. One was talking about taking a chance. Another one was talking about heading in another direction. Another one was talking about being bold enough to do something right. And the other one said finding the real you. So if you put all them tools together and you're doing it in such a way where you keep God first, it wouldn't be as bad when you scatter. And you know how the word says, in me, Jesus said, in me you have peace. But in the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We would be better off, I believe, Pastor Doctor, if we put the one who has overcome the world, put him first. And when we have these conversations, then the struggle won't be as I believe it's been. You know what I mean? And I think that's what we're going to have to get back to. Because you got such a great show that if we just get that one accord going on, and when we get that power back into that, because we used to have that some time ago. I mean, one accord is almost like we were at the same place at the same time, sitting at the table all together. But right now, I just want to encourage everybody, follow Pastor Doctor's lead. And when you follow Pastor Doctor's lead, you know, you're doing some good. You don't have to like it, but at least follow it. And that's the thing I want to encourage the group to do, man. And let's get back to that. You'd be amazed on how much you'll get done when the show come on, man. Because you open, you're giving people a chance to talk. Yes, you're doing that. But when you put a topic out there, put the scripture out there, let's stand on it, man, and watch what happens. See what happens. You know, I think we need to try that.
Well,
can I say something wrong, Doctor?
We're still on it, competing against the inner me. That's what we're talking about. I've been trying to get there. Go ahead, Brother Warren. What are you trying to say?
As the good book, well, not the good book, as one of the good books I have said, I'm writing it now as we speak, and one of the verses I wrote in the good book I'm writing while we speak is this. He who on this forum is running the school, let him or her cast the first stone. If not, like Little Richard would say, shut up.
Why do you keep talking about school? I think you're doing
all right.
Good
night, Brother Warren. Good night. So as we wrap up our last 24 minutes of the conversation, we find ourselves in this position where, as we started from the monologue, recognizing people are ill-prepared for whatever reason. They find themselves challenged by life. And you can just look to your right, you can look to your left, you can look in front of you. You can't see behind you unless you turn around. But then you have to ask yourself, why is it that I'm the only one standing where I am, and others seem to be moving on? Now, you don't have to do like anybody else. But if you're wise, you could draw from that and say to yourself, I'm going to find my own way, I'm going to define my path, and I'm at least take steps that way. That's essentially the premise of what we're talking about in terms of competing against the enemy. I talked in a monologue about how in the competition of swimming, the object is for the swimmer to first beat their own record, their own time, right? And then try to work toward breaking other records. But first you need to beat your own time. In other words, improve. They don't need you trying to compete with nobody if you hadn't got yourself together. And we talk about how many good people make excuses for not doing things that they can do. And oftentimes they have the skill. They got the skill, just don't have the motivation. And one of the tools of being able to compete against yourself is acquiring the motivation, the drive, will, the desire. 3072 said it right. You got to define success for yourself. Use the illustration of Abraham Maslow, where he talked about self-actualization involving basic needs being met first. And as you grow and learn from that, you know, you get to a point where you're able to move beyond that and use other skill sets and develop yourself and espouse yourself. You know, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about largely. And if I can use the text from the beginning, Pastor Wallace, this is how we started the conversation. I said we, but that's really not the case. It wasn't we, it was me. Galatians 5:23 says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And there are some people, I want to put a pin by temperance, 37:2. And what temperance has to do with is having self-control. Self-control. There are some people that are chronologically grown and never have learned to control themselves.
Ooh.
Some of them got degrees. Some of them have degrees. Some of them have been around, but they've never learned to control themselves. This is the basis for them always losing and having conflict, not only within themselves, but with other people. That's a challenge.
You know,
that's powerful, Pastor.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. What was we going to say, St. Louis? And then we got, look
yeah,
like
you
Josh
got a lot of people that have, you have a lot of people that have degrees that's not in high demand.
Okay.
And many people get degrees that don't require the tough subjects. A subject like your son took, had to take up. Those are tough subjects. That's why when you lay the picture on the table, you see few that look like your son.
Well, but I would argue, St. Louis, that even if you get a degree in culinary arts, go out there and use that sucker to own your own conglomerate of restaurants. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever that takes for you to do that. Because the degree is not what makes you. It's you that makes the degree worth anything. It's just a piece of paper.
said it here.
Well, you know you're right, but you got to have your own inner self in order to be able to challenge the requirements for you to get that degree. You got to be well disciplined. You got to be forward thinking. You got to be respectful of what it is that is challenging you, and then you got to respect yourself for having respect for yourself to put the things necessary and do the things necessary. You do it in football and basketball. Why come not academics?
That's right on point. Let me go to Josh. Josh, you're joining me late tonight, man. I wish you would have came a little earlier. How are you? We're talking about
another Bible study.
Okay. Good. Well, 8112 said hello to you, Josh. That's Mama D out of
town. How you doing?
I'm good, sweetie. I'm glad to hear your voice. I was worried about you for a second, but God is good, eh? I'm glad you're doing okay.
Yes, it is. All the time.
All the time. You're right about that, all right. Josh.
Josh, I got 18 minutes, man. Talk to me about what the thought of competing against the inner self. How does that hit you, man? What does it sound like to you? Right quickly. Because we've been talking before.
Competing through yourself, you said. Say that one more time.
Competing against the inner me.
That hits me. competing against yourself means.
Uh-oh.
It's like a trophy.
Go ahead, Josh.
You gotta win the race. But if you don't win that race, you gonna fail because you haven't succeeded in successes that would that you need to exceed in.
Okay.
There's steps in everything you do. So if you don't do that one step, two step, three step, you are going to succeed.
Josh, you do that all the time. I do.
Okay. Point well made, Josh. Point well made. I heard, Joshua, I sat and I heard Pastor Waller preach a sermon once. And he came right with it. And he was talking about everybody get a shot, Josh, at the beginning of the race, at the starting line.
The Bible says very plain and simple. It says in a race all run, but only one win the prize.
The run
that you may have painted. In other words, don't worry about your neighbor. Don't look to the other side, to your left, your right. Just run the race, and you're going to obtain it. Means you're going to win. And that's when the instructor come in and he'll teach you how to win, man. Yeah, so that's a great one. I was thinking about that when Josh was speaking about that. Shoot, Josh, doctor. Yeah, man. Stay in your lane.
And you'll win. Do you.
Yes, sir.
Do you. Don't try to do nobody else. Do you. And if you're talking to you.
I'm doing me now.
Honestly, guys, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying 8112 and 3072. I thought I heard them voices on there. And,
sir.
You know, you had St. Louis on there with Brother Farley. And I know Josh is on the line. But, brother, I tell you, man, I think you got something going on, Pastor Doctor. Just keep on doing it. And I know the lane that you're in.
Yes,
the lane you're in, but you're in a winning lane, man, because you're still showing
well,
up. you know.
Stay in your lane.
Well, Pastor Waller, you talking about staying in your lane. I was finna get on the road and come looking for you. I'm like, where's Pastor Waller? Where you at?
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. You're in your lane when you do that. That's a good thing.
Right,
that now. Love that. Right. I appreciate
that. Let me say something, 72. He and I communicated before the show. He was in his lane. He was out there doing his thing, and he enough to stop what he's doing and join us on the show. So it's not picking his fingernails or nothing like that.
I just be missing him. I mean, hey, I was going to get my belt out, though.
All right.
I gotta call this radio. Y'all gotta excuse me. I got a couple friends. I said bye. I gotta go call the radio station. I ain't been on in a while. I need some encouragement.
We and we appreciate
all
you,
right.
81.
Yeah.
Here's the truth, guys. I don't purport to have all the answers at all. But I hope that you understand when I come and we bring a topic of discussion, I've given some thought to it, put some research behind it. So I want you to, you know, to go behind me and check my references, those things that we talk about. That's perfectly fair. It's perfectly fair. But the reality is there's something we all can say from our real life experience. If you've been breathing and you continue to see the earth evolve around the sun 1 year after the other, You should have been able to learn something, Josh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it don't,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what?
Is that
and Reverend, that's right. Even the most, like the youth that we're talking about that don't want to get it, even they have something that they can bring to the table that may be to help somebody.
And the sad part is a lot of times, 72, the only time you really get to see their gifts is when they've been restricted from freedom in society.
That's right. That's right.
I agree with that. I agree.
Yeah.
That's
true.
I agree.
And
some
of them, unfortunately, their lights are turned out before they have an opportunity to even introduce those gifts to the world. And that's really where the concern should be. That's where our concern should be. You know, and there are some people doing well now. Don't get me wrong. There are some young folks that are doing just well. I personally know some of them. Some of them came out of my household. But I'm not talking about them now. I'm applauding them. I'm happy for them. Our focus, our aim is to help those who struggle. And they want to know. They want to do well, you know. How can the people hear without a preacher? And how
can
the preacher
preach?
Jump
to the curb as a preacher.
Please
come from a spiritual person. Should you kick them people to the curb, or should you hold your hand out and grab? If they came to the church, that should tell you something.
Okay. All right, I take that, Swell. I take that. Yeah, what you said. Josh, what were you trying to say?
I was saying a lot of them aren't even in the streets, actually. They're not actually in the streets, but they are just trying to find their way.
Well, that's okay. I see what you're saying.
And there's nobody to help find their way. So they do stuff that they wouldn't do if they were another kind of person. They wouldn't gang banging and all this stuff. They wouldn't be doing robbing stuff. They wouldn't be doing any of this stuff that you're talking about. They would be studying. They would be doing their homework. They would be reading a book.
down the narrow path, not the long path. But we need to teach them, and that's what we're not doing. We're not doing that.
But Josh,
a lot of people are not doing that.
True, okay. But Josh, may I ask you something, sir?
Yes, you can.
A lot of them don't have people like Pastor Wilder, Pastor Dockery in their lives to explain them certain things in life. Some things you do have to keep on reaching to grab a hold of them. And because as he was speaking of, and I'm trying to make this real fast because I know show ending, that when you don't know, you don't know. But when you're fighting against yourself, that's a hard that's a hard thing to fight against is you.
Right.
You can be your worst enemy, your biggest nightmare, because
what?
You're fighting against your inner being, yourself.
Okay.
With you.
Okay.
And when people out there in the streets, they fighting for their life every day. And a lot of people don't do that because they ain't walk that walk, but they can talk a different talk.
Okay.
That is
all
true.
Right. All right. One second, you guys. What were you trying to say there, St. Louis? Like, quick, because that time is kind of slipping away from me.
Well, the support, the initial support comes from the family. See,
it's,
you can't have no 30, 40, 50 people in a group and hold each of them by the hand. It was the family who was supposed to have done all that to get them to where they can receive the information. I was reading about a school in China that's studying artificial intelligence.
By the hand if you'd have reached out to the school that needed your help.
Well,
we always got somebody talking. The school in China, the dorm, all the lights go off at 11 o'clock at night, docket. You know what the students in that school have done? They went outside and sat on the curb and continued to study by streetlight.
Okay.
That's an example of dedication, perseverance, and not letting any inner obstacles stop you.
Agreed.
That's one of the reasons why come they lead in that field today.
Well, and the point is they had an internal drive, some sort of driving force or mechanism that they got them there. They got them there. And that's a very, very important lesson to a thought to you. That you have to find within you the drive, the strength, the encouragement. A German theologian by the name of Paul Tillich wrote a book entitled The Courage to Be, and his whole thesis is there are points in your life where you're challenged that you got to dig deep within and find the courage to exist, to be who you are, and to maintain yourself. Powerful point. Yeah, I mean, well, okay. So we're gonna try to wrap it up like this. I think Pastor Waller, I'm gonna call Mattel to see if they can make some Reuben dolls because I wish I could be every place at one time. But I'm, you know, in the interest of trying to get stuff around everywhere, I'm gonna get some something about it.
Can I have a Reuben dog, sir, please?
You got it. I got it.
Okay.
All right. Let's do this. Go ahead, 72. Give us a final thought, right quickly. And if y'all could, you got about 5 minutes here left. We'll go around. And
I enjoyed the show. I love everyone. Let's just stay encouraged. That's it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. We appreciate you taking the time with us. All right, there. What about it, Josh?
Hey, we all need to stay encouraged. We all need to read the Bible. We all need to face the fact that this is a new era and things are the way they were earlier. So we have to face the fact that we have different trials and tribulations, and that's it.
Okay.
God bless.
Yes, sir. Bless you too, my fellow. We appreciate you joining us tonight.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, praise God.
What about it, 8112?
I thank God for Jesus that he gave me the strength and the courage because, as I said before, I forgive myself sometimes. When I feel weak, I want to be strong. So on that note, I'm so grateful to hear you guys' voices.
We're great to hear yours.
Opinion about everybody's own opinion. That's cool. We do have a voice. And I thank you guys for letting me reach out with mine. And I accept
okay.
and receive what I need to. And I'm grateful for that. Stay blessed.
Amen. Amen.
All right. All right. Well, St. Louis, what about it, sir? Final thought there before we turn the floor over to Pastor Wallace.
Well, many start the race, only a few finish. Those that
okay.
finish go on to the next heat. It's like in horse racing. You got those that show, place, and a winner. That's just the way life is. That's the way it is in this society. Prepare yourself. If not, well, you would be wishing. See you later.
Thank you. Appreciate you. All right. Well, Pastor Wilder, we're going to turn the floor over to you, big brother. So take us home because you got the microphone.
Amen. Praise God for everybody who had a chance to talk as well as those that was listening. You know, there is an encouraging word, Dr. Doctor. That was a rich man and that was a beggar man. And once they recognized that there was a race because
my
the cost of being rich does not win the race. You have to be in the race first in order to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a poor man that was afraid to enter the race because he felt like he didn't have nothing. But I believe that the word does say, in a race, all run, but only one win the prize. So I like that you can't win unless you're in the race. And I'm just glad that I heard 8112 say she had a right to say what she had to say, and she said it. 3072 had a right to say what she had to say. She said it, Josh. And everybody else did. But let me ask the question. How many of you are honest with yourself? Are you in the race? Because you're either in it or you're not. I yield back to you on that note. You're in or you're not. No more. Don't just talk. Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
That's it right there. Willie Neil Johnson and Paul said it like this. Help me to be strong so I can fight the enemy on the inside. Thank you all for doing it. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Street. On behalf of our co-host, Pastor Rick Wall, and all that joining, thank you, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Hey, son. What did he say?